But yeah, we had a really strong week this week.
Was it?
But it's the holiday. You know, that's one of the other.
Well,
things.
Is that your excuse? Is that how you're rationalizing?
There's a holiday nearly every month.
It's a
Court.
Holiday.
I mean, there's a holiday nearly every month, Court. So when they were down low in September, that's Labor Day, man. People aren't gonna listen to a podcast in Labor. Oh, that's a Halloween rush. You can't do anything about the Halloween rush. Shit.
Then there was Thanksgiving.
It's Arbor Day, Court. What are you doing with your Arbor Day? You're not
there
listening
to
a podcast.
Veterans Day. There was Thanksgiving. It's ridiculous. How many holidays there are?
I'm Brian Faunin.
And I'm Cord Winsett.
And we are
listeners like you.
So, Cord.
Yes, Brian.
I have an assignment to ask you about, but I can't do it to start with. I first have to say
the sweater.
That's a hell of an ugly Christmas sweater you're wearing today. Is it not an ugly Christmas sweater, or is it?
It's intentionally an ugly Christmas sweater.
Right,
absolutely, but it also represents my personality pretty.
Yeah, let me paint a word.
Succinctly.
Let me paint a word picture for the listeners. It's a green sweater with a naked Shrek.
I mean, we're
and like he's really steering hard into the hot pants, and that doesn't 100%. Seem.
I mean, like. Listen, if you think that Shrek is not a sexy beast, then
I mean it is built into the thing, but he doesn't seem very holiday themed. No, in all truth, listeners, it's not that. It's better than that. It is blue. It has a lot of yellow and blue and white in terms of imagery.
Holiday
colors. But the primary thing that makes it clearly a Christmas sweater is there are two Santa-hatted creatures.
Yes. They're,
they are white. I'm going to assume they're polar bears.
Clearly polar bears.
Well, sir.
Clearly.
You say they are clearly polar bears. They are polar bears if you asked me to draw a polar bear.
or to sew a polar bear. I mean, like it's
they could be two Dwights from The Office without clothes on.
Absolutely.
But yes, and they have two large beer steins with an appropriate foamy head, yes. And they are just about to crash them together.
Yes. So, yes. Okay. So this is a sweater where there are polar bears that are clearly about to chug some beer.
Absolutely.
And they are toasting prior to said chugging.
Yes.
I mean, it's everything that a sweater should be for me.
Understood. Understood.
I got it last year. I don't think I actually had an opportunity to wear it last year. And today I was looking for something to put on because we are having a particularly cold day in the midst of some other days that are basically mild. Like, weird. Just this one day is
look
weird
at you
weather.
Trying to get all hippy-dippy with climate change over here, and it's not necessary to
I'm
the story.
I'm hippy-dippy weather, man. If you... are you familiar with the Hippy Dippy Weatherman? With the
I'm not familiar with the Hippy Dippy Weatherman.
Are you not?
Or the Hippy Dippy Weatherman.
Okay, because I thought you were making a reference. That's a...
No, sir.
That is a deep cut reference to George Carlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his early stuff was the Hippy Dippy Weatherman.
Okay. Yeah, no, as you say that, like there's faint bells going in the back of my head, but no, that was not... I can't claim credit for that.
It would have been cool if you
could. Well, it would have been cool in the same way that like I could have made that Shrek thing funny, but yeah, I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I just pulled out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Up.
Yeah. Like I'm like in my head I'm going, you're so close to talking about Shrek's cock. This is not nobody wants this. Nobody wants this. Michael Myers might sue us, he might not, but nobody wants this. Pull out.
See, the problem was I am such a bad person that I'm going totally steering into Fiona. I'm going to start making Fiona nude jokes a second.
Well, you already did it by saying you were steering into Fiona. That's a jump into me if I've ever heard of one. Well, to try to rescue us from ourselves.
Oh, please.
I asked you, not entirely selflessly, Because
not because you're anything. Trying to support yourself.
I'm trying to support my premise.
Yeah.
But I asked you to listen to Elvis Perkins in Deerland.
You did.
And I ask you now, did you do that?
I did.
Please tell us what that was like.
I was not a fan. I'm not gonna lie. I did not like even a little bit any wow. of the songs on it.
Did not like even Doomsday?
No.
Wow.
Well, now Doomsday was later on the album. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say that it like early on I was listening mm-hmm. and I was listening hard. By the time we got around to Doomsday, which was one of the last three tracks on the album, mm-hmm. it's very distinctly possible that I was not listening wow. as hard anymore. Okay. It bored me, if I'm
wow.
being honest.
Okay. Everything about this podcast is designed to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we do this, to be honest. but yeah, so it bored you. Well, that's.
Yeah.
That's
surprising. I didn't understand. We come from two very different perspectives in our approach to music listening.
Oh, I thought you were going to go down the deeper path of, you know, as 50-year-old white men, we come from completely different perspectives and backgrounds. Like, you grew up on this street and I grew up on this street and your parents stayed together their entire lives and didn't get divorced, and my parents stayed together their entire lives and didn't get divorced. And
yeah.
you've been afflicted by being a white man in society, and I also am a white man.
Yeah.
No, from musical perspectives, yeah.
I did what I always do. I listened to it and just listened to it.
Yep.
And the way that I consume things when I hear them, they have to make pleasing noises. And okay. There was no hook to it for me.
Okay.
There was nothing that jumped out to me as like, oh, that's going to make me hum that particular tune over and over and over again. So the second time I listened to it, I tried to pay more attention, and I didn't make it all the way through the album the second time.
Okay.
But the second time I did try and pay more attention to the words, and even from that perspective, I've got to say, this did not feel like something that was lyric driven. If I'm trying sure. to find an album that is a Brian Faunan album, the lyrics didn't scream to me, oh, this is obviously it's the lyrics that made him recommend this to me.
Yeah, so the hardcore fans of the show are really appreciate this and enjoy it, but our friendship is canceled. It's over. cancel the fucking podcast. We're done. It's not. So to me, I like Elvis Perkins for a lot of reasons, but let me. Did you do any research about him?
No, or anything? Not at all.
Okay, good. So let me parcel out some things and see if they change your perspective at all. So Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
Doomsday is about 9/11.
Okay.
That's a song about 9/11. So you should feel really pretty shitty.
I really
because you have to like everything that is inspired by 9/11.
I'm okay with myself.
Except for 9/11 itself. That's the one thing inspired by 9/11 we all agree was bad, bad, bad. But
I feel okay not caring at all that something inspired by 9/11 did not move me.
Okay. But in fairness, to defend Elvis Perkins, inspired by like knowing somebody who died in 9/11. Not like he wasn't happy with the outcome or anything like that. Like yeah.
Throwing.
No, sorry. Yeah, yeah. No. But what if I told you he's the son of Anthony Perkins?
I would have to ask you who the hell Anthony Perkins was.
Have you ever watched a little film called Psycho?
Well, sure.
He's
it's
Norman
his
Bates.
Son? Damn. Yeah.
Elvis Perkins is okay. Anthony Perkins' son.
Okay.
Anthony Perkins was a huge Elvis Presley fan.
I see.
He named his son Elvis
because
after
of Elvis
Presley.
Okay. Back to why you wanted me to mm-hmm. listen to this album in the first place.
Yep.
You said
Elvis Perkins is the best Elvis. Elvis Presley's the third.
I disagree. I hardcore disagree with that. With that.
Okay,
with that
sir.
Basic.
Tell me why Elvis Gerbach is the best Elvis.
I would say that Elvis Presley and Elvis Costello both are better Elvises than Elvis Perkins. I'm gonna stand firm on that.
I mean, it's a brave position to take in Memphis. I commend you for your bravery. But I disagree completely because you know one thing Elvis Presley never fucking did in his entire life?
Write his own songs?
Correct. Yeah. Or any song.
Yeah.
Right? So both Elvis Costello and Elvis Perkins exceed vastly that. Frankly, I could sketch out a song tomorrow and I would be ahead of Elvis on the songwriting phase, although I probably couldn't the more I think about it. Yeah, so there's a song about shampoo. That one didn't resonate
shampoo
with you at all.
Shampoo was the first song on the album.
Yeah, and that one didn't just hook you at all?
It annoyed me, if I'm being completely honest.
Okay.
And apparently I'm being completely honest several times.
Yeah.
It did. It annoyed me because it's like, I can't, I wish I could bring up the lyrics and...
I mean, underneath the sweater, which you've now taken off for some reason to show me the t-shirt that you're wearing... that says, I fucking hate Elvis Perkins, is telling me a lot about your views on Elvis Perkins without me having to see the t-shirt.
Yeah, it's clearly the most popular song of his songs on Elvis Perkins and Deerland. Shampoo is the one that gets the most plays on Spotify.
Well, you know why it gets – no, it's because it's the first. The most popular. Doomsday is – if anybody knows –
Doomsday is...
I think Doomsday's a banger. I think Doomsday's a really good song.
It's a banger. Call it a banger.
Yeah. It's a banger. Huh. It's also very deep. I don't like Elvis Presley.
I mean, listen...
I don't like the cut of his jib.
The guy
had a voice.
I don't
like the way that he capitalized on African-American music and brought it to a sort of audience.
Did he really know that that's what he was doing at the time? It's not like he intentionally...
I don't think he's a smart man. So, no, I don't think he knew what he was doing, but he definitely co-opted black music. Did he cost Austin Butler the Oscar? Absolutely. That's Elvis's problem. And now poor Austin Butler can't get out of that character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did get out of that character. I mean, he did manage to get out of it eventually.
Okay.
It just took him a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to recommend that you listen to the other Elvis Perkins albums, which are solo albums and are more... stripped down.
I still don't understand why Elvis Perkins and Deerland, it's all Elvis Perkins.
But it's Elvis Perkins with the construct of horns and violins and drums, and that's not on his other albums. But
and I do like horns and violins and drums.
And you clearly are a
this just didn't do it for me. I was bored by the whole thing very quickly. And I mean, like five songs in, I'm like meh.
Nope.
Meh.
Well, I'm definitely not going to ask you to listen to his first album called Ash Wednesday, because you're not going to like that either. He does have, you have to give me this consistency, he's got the weird voice concept that I'm always looking for.
He does, definitely. And I noticed that. And I will also point out that this is very much my hot take. Mm-hmm. This is very much like me going like, didn't like it.
Yep.
But I was very much on the... on the negative side for Jason Isbell, and he is my number one artist for 2023
on Spotify. What do they call that?
My year in your review,
but it's
whatever.
Like Wrapped or something.
Yeah, they call it, Spotify Wrapped.
I wasn't prepared to go there just yet, but we will take this little bit of detour. But curiously, in the Spotify's fucking with you category that we've been coming back to. How did they characterize your main genre of music?
My main genre is lyrical jazz?
Yes.
We
got to have Jason on this podcast because Jason would love the idea that he is a lyrical jazz presenter.
Jazzy lyricist.
it is not that. But I will – the last little piece on both
Elvis
Perkins and the great Elvi debate,
okay,
which I continue to believe the easiest argument is you go – Perkins, Costello, Presley, Gerbach. Because Gerbach could not cut it in the NFL as a starting quarterback, and we've all seen examples that that's not actually that hard. There are some crazy people that have managed to do that. Baker Mayfield still has a fucking job in the NFL, whatever.
But, well, the fact that nobody wants to hire Kaepernick.
That's a much longer podcast.
Yeah.
That really doesn't get its... deserved,
but I mean,
remnants. But I understand.
Yeah.
But I will say this: it is a bit of a Hollywood story that you would have a famous actor have a child, name that child after a famous musician, and then that child grows up to be. I mean, clearly you'd never heard of him before, so I can't necessarily say a famous musician.
No, but definitely not a famous.
Imagine the pressure. Getting up every day as a kid with Elvis as your first name and then managing to steer your way into you make music for a living. That's something clearly Elvis Gerbach couldn't do.
Maybe
he should have. Maybe that was the better calling.
He probably could have made a better go at it if he had just gone to music.
Maybe he's a 6'4" white guy. So
pick up a banjo,
pick up a snare drum, and beat the shit out of that, and you're going to be ready to go. Okay, well.
Do I disappoint?
No.
I mean, listen.
For our
three listeners, I do want to point out.
Sometimes we have six, sir. Yeah. Don't undersell us.
The bulk of the music that I listen to has been recommended to me by Brian Fawnight.
Right. And so I'm still holding out hope that Elvis will become your next Jason Isbell, but I don't actually think that's going to be the case because
I'm never going back.
He has a new album that's come out in the last couple of years. I've listened to it. I'm okay with it, but I still think of all of his discography, I think the way he steered into this particular sound for me was what I really, really liked versus the more Michael Penny sort of stripped down sort of setup. And so maybe that gives Elvis Costello a fighting chance to.
I mean, listen,
be more a 1A than a 2. But
I'm a big fan of Costello. I think he should be considered right there at the top among the Elvi.
Yeah. Well, he's had to use the attractions, but segueing from music. Although I do have another musical question for you, but segueing from that, the last little wrap up from our last episode, you were super excited that a guy you had listened to as a, I think it was an audiobook about history or a...
No. It was another podcast history, that he had done.
Had his whole Revolutions podcast.
When you
threw aside the Elvis Perkins and Deerland disc in disgust and then started listening to the Revolutions podcast, what did you think?
I enjoy it. It is different than his other podcasts. Mm-hmm. I got interested in Mike Duncan and the work that he did with a podcast on Rome, and then he followed that up with
the B-52 song.
Yeah, exactly. Rome, if you want to
roam around the world.
Exactly.
You could do a podcast on Rome. Right? Yeah,
100%.
Tin Roof, Rusted.
Rusted.
Different song, sorry.
Yeah. No, but that's fine. That's fine. I think Rome is probably the better song. If I had to.
Wow. Yeah. Hot take stirring up some real controversy. Although
you want to argue with me?
No, I don't, because what I want to say is Rock Lobster puts both of them to shame, so we can just move on, right?
Revolutions is a different podcast. It's a different take if you're a fan, like I am talking to a very small group of people if you are a fan of Mike Duncan's podcast.
In fairness, we already start from a very narrow casting premise, right? We are now heaping narrow casting on narrow casting because we're saying, hey, look, core 10, the people that are ride or dies with us. Are there two of you out there who know who the fuck Mike Duncan is and are Mike Duncan fans? Because that's statistically unlikely. but if you are, wait till you hear about this.
It's different. Revolutions is different than his other than the other two podcasts that he did that I am familiar with. But I loved both of those, and I enjoy this as well. And the thing that I really like about Revolutions is it's basically every episode is a one-off. With his other podcasts, there's definitely a build and a story to you've got to listen to the whole thing. With Revolutions, you could listen to one episode and
he gives you the X-Files Monster of the Week episode. You don't need to know the whole season or series arc to stay along.
It's definitely a – what do they call it when it's an episode that they film completely in studio?
A bottle episode?
A bottle episode, okay. Yeah. Every single episode is a bottle episode.
And I think technically it's not that they film it in studio. It's a one location.
Right.
Episode. And often those
bottle, more often than not in studio.
And often when we were growing up, those bottle episodes were also flashback greatest clip episodes because they would put them in an elevator where they would be trapped. And then some reason they'd be like, well, to kill time. Do you remember the time when Arnold Drummond had a moral crisis he had to deal with? Why we do dissolve, 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 dissolve.
And one of the most interesting things about that is
Good call.
I got nothing.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things about that
not
is
anything interesting.
Show
about
me
that.
Awkward silence. Oh, it's the number two answer.
Not anything interesting that's okay. about that at all.
Well, on the nostalgia kick, because that's where I was sort of heading down with the Arnold Drummond references for those big different strokes devotees out there.
Yes. Different strokes.
We, if nothing else, have persevered because this episode will be our 19th. Real main feed premise episode. We've had the two bonus features, so if we really wanted to pat ourselves on the back, we've actually done 21 of these.
Yeah.
But 19.
And technically, we could say we've done 22 because there was that whole Lost episode.
Yes, well.
The greatest episode ever.
The greatest episode ever. The we spent so much time talking about the dueling pianos, and then I found out, I went and looked up, I actually tried a Google search just to see if we really were reinventing wheels. I said, dueling pianos, but violence. And the only thing that I got is there's actually two guys called Piano Fight Club that have a website that's www.pianofightclub. And they still don't actually physically fight, but they are doing the dueling pianos thing with a sort of Fight Club theme, which might be interesting. But no, the nostalgia tip, I hear 19, I think of music.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing that I think of, and I'm curious whether it's the same thing that you think of. I say to you, 19 and music, what's your response?
I guarantee you that I'm not going to come up with the same thing that you do. Because for me, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, obviously, 1999, the Prince album is the first thing that pops into my head. I go straight to that.
Hey 19, no, Steely Dan.
Not even.
Are you a Steely Dan person?
I hate Steely Dan.
You hate Steely Dan?
I hate
Steely Dan. I'm really hoping that that's what you were going to say because I have such a conflicted relationship with Steely Dan. And this is part of bringing all this full circle. You know, your mileage might vary about whether it's truly full circle or not. But I am not a huge Steely Dan fan.
Okay.
They never quite hit me in the right spot, but I have found myself revisiting it because my son, who has absolutely no reason to like Steely Dan, he's a 19-year-old kid who plays bass in a grunge band in Blacksburg, Virginia now. Loves him some Steely Dan.
Why?
And I've been trying to figure that out. And so I've been
listening to it, going, what the hell is the...
Because it's Donald Fagen.
What is the hook here?
Steely Dan's got some hooks. That's the thing, right? But it's Donald Fagen, and I can't think of the other name of the person, but we'll have some fans
care.
That will...
I straight up don't care.
But so that makes it really easy because all my list of questions about why Steely Dan might resonate with a new generation, you can't help me with those.
No.
So we can move on to that. But I will say the other... if there was anything, and you're just looking at 19, not Prince in 1999, I'm curious whether you remember the Paul Hardcastle song, 19... No, 19.
No.
It was about the Vietnam War.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Nope. All right. Well, that was a
so that's
was a real
two major
success.
Flops right there.
Yeah, real dang. Real success.
Succession right there.
Oh, Succession's about TV.
Swing and a miss.
Let me tell you what we did talk about TV that I can follow back up on.
Mm-hmm.
Fleabag is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I have watched both seasons of Fleabag now.
Mm-hmm.
We joked about being a Fleabag recap podcast. Have you ever watched it?
I have
talked about it last.
It comes to me highly recommended. I have never watched it.
Okay.
But well, I have a friend who is not you who has recommended
it. Well, we were in that same spot because whatever episode it was, we talked about that.
Yeah.
But I broke down and I watched it. And it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's funny that she's Phoebe Waller-Bridge and then the musician that partnered with The National and that we talked about her website, she's Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's something to be said for if you're going to name your kid something. I guess Phoebe?
Phoebe or Bridge. Just have Bridge in there.
Yeah. Although that would be an interesting interview too. Like were those kids named after Phoebe from Friends and now have grown up and transcended that genre or not?
Not Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I guarantee you. She's
from England.
Yeah,
so it's pretty,
and also
pretty
she's
unlikely.
Older than – I mean, she's, you know, I would say she's in her 30s now? Late probably. 30s?
Who knows about age, right? And we don't talk about actresses' age.
Are we not supposed to?
Also, I didn't realize that was the show with the sexy priest.
Yeah.
Like, I'd always heard the, and until I watched it, and of course, that's the guy from Sherlock.
Yes.
Anyway, it's very, very good. Yeah. But even if you don't know much about it, it's a good show, and it hooks you in. So we talked about your Spotify Wrapped situation, which I meant to get to.
We touched on it, for sure.
But I want to put a timestamp on this episode, and I know from past history, your wife...
My wife.
...really likes the lemonade from Chick-fil-A.
No, she likes the unsweet tea.
She likes the tea? I thought she liked the lemonade from Chick-fil-A.
No, unsweet tea, yeah.
Okay, well, let's pretend...
Okay.
That what she likes is the lemonade from Chick-fil-A.
We'll do that.
Because it
we'll
makes for a better segue of there but for the grace of God go you, that she's not some of those people drinking the Panera lemonade. Have you heard anything about
that? I have not heard
about
Panera.
Oh, you haven't heard anything about, I'm about to be all Jerry Seinfeld on you. What's the deal with the Panera lemonade? So you've got access to a computer right now,
I do.
Right?
I have, over there in the corner.
Do a Google search, Panera Deadly Lemonade.
Panera Deadly Lemonade. Let's see what
this
comes
is
up.
The dystopia we live in. That's actually a thing now.
Panera
Deadly Lemonade.
When I type in Panera, Google autocomplete says Panera Bread, Panera Lemonade, Panera Charged Lemonade.
Yes, Panera Charged Lemonade is what you want to look up because you're a fan of caffeine. I'm a fan of caffeine.
Panera Bread's charged lemonade blamed for a second death.
Yes. No one should be as much a fan of caffeine as Panera is because their lemonade apparently has like 360 grams of caffeine or
how much caffeine is in the charged lemonade at Panera?
Yeah.
390 milligrams.
I was very close. I was within 30 milligrams. But yeah, like how does something like that happen? I saw somebody have a really good post on a non-Twitter site, but was like, that's the sixth logo. Panera has come up with the sixth logo. But yeah, no, it doesn't resonate as much since it's not iced tea and your wife couldn't end up in the scenario I was going to spin out where Chick-fil-A is closed on a Sunday. She's searching for lemonade, so she goes down the street to the Panera. She has the charged lemonade, and then you
dies.
I was hoping,
killing off my wife.
I was hoping in the story she wouldn't die, but that you'd never seen Robin on 390 milligrams of caffeine. But no one should ever really is what we're saying.
Yeah, I mean that's honestly I don't know that it would be too much. Caffeine for me. I feel like I might be able to handle it.
This is how almost... people end up dying in this challenge, right? Like people look at it and go, yeah, I mean, for them, that's dangerous. But I have that much caffeine at various time. I'll just make it a double. Yeah, I'll have a double of that. Sure. What's 780 grams of caffeine between friends?
I mean, I'm a guy that drinks a cup of coffee before I go to bed at night. You know, it just...
That's an interesting...
It's, honestly,
I know it's a joke. You don't really do that, right? You do? I mean, really?
Not regularly, but
okay.
I'm not one of those people that is like, oh, no, I can't have a cup of coffee because it's after 6.
Oh, well, yeah, you know? But that's... I mean, do you go to bed at 6:30, sir? Because I'm lost in the whole analogy.
Listen, like there are those people, those old 50-year-old white guys that
absolutely
say,
fucking hate them. Like
they're ass.
Don't want to be in a room with any of those folks.
My
at all.
Word, they're terrible. They say like if you offer them a cup of coffee after 6 p.m., they're like, oh no, I can't do that. I won't. I'll be up all night. And I am not one of those people.
Okay.
I can drink caffeine.
Sure.
Right up until bedtime, and it doesn't affect my ability to sleep. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But so you're not like
I don't actually
cultivating a personality where you go downstairs and be like, oh, I'm going to brew a cuppa and have that right before I go to bed.
No.
I get that minty taste of the toothpaste out of my mouth before I go to bed by having an espresso.
But I am intrigued by the whole minty
thing. Minty thing. Yeah.
I mean, like – We have coffee. We have K-cups that are Pete's K-cups that are...
Oh, so you hate the environment.
Well, listen, I'm not gonna try and even dance around the fact that I don't care if my little K-cup thing is bad for
probably the from the very progressive standpoint of this is not a solution that can be made on a person by person basis because corporations are chewing up resources and doing all this sort of stuff and therefore it's making it performative for us. That's probably the kind of thing you're gonna say, huh?
No, I was just gonna say like I buy one box of K-cups per quarter, and the amount that I am contributing to the waste that is
okay.
Tearing apart the world is probably minimal at best. But Pete's makes a peppermint-flavored coffee that I'm a fan of. That's all I was
going to say. Well, this circles back to you don't like to do the flavored creamers. Creamers is the way to go, particularly this time of year if you're looking for mint.
Like, do like the individual creamers that are
– No. Well, I mean I do at a hotel.
That would be wasteful.
Yeah. If I'm at a hotel, I do.
Little plastic cups that you have to
– But at home, I get the – 64-ounce jugs mm-hmm. where your competing factors are you can either get Coffee Mate or International Foods or whatever.
International Delight.
Delight. I'm sorry.
ID. Come on, bud. ID,
yeah. But so what I'm telling you is right now, if you go to the grocery store in the International Delight pocket, mm-hmm. you can get the Grinch's mint peppermint mocha.
Salty balls.
No, peppermint mocha that you pour in with the coffee, and it's a delight. It's an International Delight. That's maybe how I'll remember that from now on, because you can get some of those flavors from the other competitor. But right now, the Grinch's peppermint mocha is the way to go, and you wouldn't have to get your coffee flavored. You just add the flavor on the backside. So as you're going to bed, right, like you just pour it in the bedside coffee cup.
Although you were mentioning to me, I think it was before we started recording the episode, that there was a beer. Somebody makes a seasonal peppermint-flavored stout or something like that. I've got to have
that. Yeah, I understand. You're putting me on the spot. What I was saying was more conceptual.
So you're not saying there is actually a peppermint-flavored stout out there.
I don't have one I can point you to right now. I am confident this time of year you're going to find one of those that perhaps the same company that made the holy grail of stouts that you've been searching for so hard, the donut-flavored mm-hmm. stout. Like when they seasonally go, okay, we moved on from donuts. What do we do now? Now we do peppermint mocha, right? You're going to find a beer like that. You just have to look for it, and I can't tell you which brewery does it.
But you would say that if I were going to find something like that, I would have a good shot of finding it at Whole Foods.
Whole Foods would be a pretty good place in Memphis.
In Memphis.
You might also find it at your Cork Dorks or whatever it is that is in Germantown that you have to drive in for. You might find it there.
I don't want to give Cork. The liquor store in Germantown.
Too close,
I don't
want to give them too
much love because I went there and they seemed to have no knowledge of any of the things that I needed them to have knowledge on. So, you know, they can.
It's a very Count Chocula moment you just had there for a second. You're starting to get. Sorry. I'm not going to do the voice. So it'll be interesting, listeners, if you hear any of the last 20 minutes when we get this through production, because it feels like we didn't hit on all cylinders, but I'm tempted to keep that in there just for, you know, shits and grins. Speaking of shits and grins, have you seen any good movies lately, Court?
I have not, but I don't go to movies that often.
I was going to say, I knew that about you. One, because you value your dollars, and most of the time it's not a good use of it. But we are a listening podcast, so we don't often talk about movies. But when we do, we don't talk about just one movie. We talk about at least two at a time, sometimes three at a time. But I'm prepared to talk about two at a time again because
I've actually seen
two movies on back-to-back Saturdays in the same theater. So, you know, we heard a lot about Barbenheimer.
Yes.
We barely talked about Saw Patrol, which was when Saw X and Paw Patrol, the movie, came out on the same weekend.
Did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, Saw Patrol was a thing for a while. And I have seen Saw X, but not Paw Patrol. But we have participated, me and my wife, over the last 2 weeks in something I'm still struggling for what to call it. I'm currently settled on salt overs, I guess. But we saw Saltburn and The Holdovers. We've seen both of those movies in theaters. Do you know anything about either of those films?
I'm sure I've seen a commercial for either or both of them, but I mean...
Okay. One of them has Paul Giamatti. Do you know which one that is?
No.
Okay, that's The Holdovers. One of them has Barry Keoghan from The Banshees of Inisherin. That's Saltburn.
Okay.
One of them has the woman who played Ben Affleck's wife in Gone Girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's Saltburn.
Okay.
One of them has...
What's her name? What is her name?
What is her name?
She is... she's
Rosemary...
Rose... yeah, okay. Man, golly, now we're going to sound
Rosemary like... Gone Girl, I think is what her name is. Anyway, she does a fantastic job. One of them is set in the 70s.
Okay.
That's The Holdovers.
Good, good.
One of them is set in 2006. That's Saltburn. If you put both movies together, you could kind of make The Secret History, which is one of my favorite books. You ever read The Secret History?
No.
It's a Donna Tartt book about
a bunch
of kids in New England at a boarding school, and there's some bacchanalia and some murder and some cover-ups and all
that. Sounds wonderful.
It's a fantastic book. But
The Secret History.
Yes. She's the same woman who wrote The Goldfinch later in life and wrote Little Something or Other. But it's a fantastic book. But Saltburn and The Holdovers probably could not have less in common besides the fact that the Faunins saw them on back-to-back Saturdays at the Ridgeway Cinema Grill.
It was at Ridgeway.
Yes, which is a great place to see a movie.
Yeah. I mean,
it's fantastic. But boy, howdy, not a great place to get wine, let me tell you, because they have limited options and it's $12 for a cup of it. And then they will ask you dutifully, do you want to double that? And my wife will dutifully look at you and go, for twice the cost? And they'll say, yeah. And then she'll go, no, I could get two bottles of what I'm about to get for $24 if I do that. Saltburn is the latest movie from the filmmaker Emerald Fennell, who did Young Promising Woman. Did you have
that? Yeah. Okay.
So very, very controversial filmmaker, very much makes you uncomfortable. The whole movie makes you uncomfortable. Very, very well done. Barry Keoghan is the kid from Banshees of Inisherin. He does a fantastic job. It's got Jacob Elordi, who is from Euphoria.
Oh, yeah.
And just played Elvis in Priscilla.
Yeah.
Does a really, really good job. And it's got Rosamund
Pike.
That's
why he's in the news right now. That's why he's been all over the news right now.
Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike, yes.
She's in that. And then it's got
she's in The Wheel of Time.
Yes. Very famous actor. I can only think of him as being in Hudson Hawk at the moment, which is a horrible reference for him, but plays the husband of
Rosamund
Pike.
I mean, that is a severely underrated
Absolutely.
Movie.
Like 324, Sing on a Star, baby. Yeah. Like you need to know exactly that. It's a great man. But I can't think of what that character's name, Charles Grant maybe or something like that. Anyway, so the long and the short of it is, Barry Keoghan, neither short but also long and thick. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of dong in Saltburn, okay? Like, we often, when I say we, the royal we that doesn't include you, often talks about how women are made to be fully nude in movies and very rarely are men, famous actors, made to be fully nude.
Women are made to be fully nude.
When I say made to be, there's much more full frontal female nudity in movies.
And I mean, if I'm being honest, I'd prefer to see – I mean, sure, just because
sure,
I'm a
– Sure.
You know.
Famous actors, very rarely. It's much more a discussion point if there's ever actual full frontal from a famous Gone Girl example, right? Everybody spent time arguing.
And listen,
actually see Affleck dong in that movie or not in the shower, you know, sort of set up.
And his ex-wife says that was his actual dong.
Right. So
and
all I'm saying is if you go see Saltburn, there will be no question that has to be Barry Keoghan. There's no questions about it. It's a very fundamental scene in the movie. But I will also say, without real spoilers, if you've seen Talented Mr. Ripley, you've seen a variation of Saltburn, because it's a not dissimilar story.
Okay.
But it's very well done. I think Keoghan should get an acting nomination for his character in the movie. I'm not sure anybody else should be nominated. And the only thing I can say about The Holdovers is, well, that's not true. There are three things I can say about The Holdovers. Mercifully, no Paul Giamatti dong. Nobody wants to see that. Well, they're not going to find a way to make that happen. Two, I think he probably gets a nomination for Best Actor. He does a great job. Three, it's such a slow movie. I mean, it's a really slow movie. And I get that part of why everybody loves it is, you know, they've tried to recreate what a movie in the 70s would actually be like, set in the 70s, what have you. But it was really, really slow.
I mean, you're not selling me on either of these movies.
Well, why do you think that was my goal?
I don't know. Why did you bring them up?
Because I've seen them recently. Because
you had to have something to talk about.
The other movies that I've recently seen would not make the list of discussion, because they are things I saw on Netflix or things I saw on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they weren't that great. But, no, so the concept of the holdovers is Paul Giamatti is a teacher at a private
school. Yes, I actually
want to
see this.
Yeah, okay, so
yeah.
New private in New England.
Yeah.
And the holdovers is the concept of, these are the kids that are staying there.
They have
they don't have any place to go.
Right.
It very quickly devolves into being a three-hander with one of the kids, Giamatti, and then the African-American woman who's the cook at the school. It's set in 1970. It's fine. I wouldn't go to a theater to see it, because nothing about it needs to be seen in a theater, except, of course, that it's remarkable that Alexander Payne was even allowed to make this movie, because there's nothing about it that makes you think, oh, this is a movie that's going to go to theaters and be seen in theaters. But it is the reunion of Giamatti and Payne from Sideways. It's mm-hmm. the first time they've worked together.
Yeah.
So it's very good as a thing, but it's very slow. And I would probably try to cut 30 to 35 minutes from it, or make it be played at 1.5 speed or something like that. But it's very, very good. The Saltburn is very, very different. Very, very difficult to watch. Very, very well done. But boy, howdy, it's a lot.
So let me just point out here. We're going to take a break for a second and just point out that you can't start shoving movies together and saying, like, oh,
because they come out on the same weekend,
the Saltovers or whatever.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to sit through both of them on the same day in succession. So, like, the entire idea.
Wait, so we have to, I have to be in the TV show Succession and sit through both of the movies together
100%.
Before you will give me any credence at all.
Absolutely.
No wonder you didn't like Elvis Perkins and Deerland. Such a random bullshit valuation approach you have.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna do the whole Barbenheimer thing,
right?
The entire idea behind Barbenheimer was they came out the same weekend. They were trying to come up with a promotional thing that would get people back into the theaters,
yeah, and watch
and
both
the
of them
idea
back-to-back.
Was
yeah.
you go see them
the
in
same
the
day.
Same day.
Yeah.
And I
think that's what happened with Saw Patrol too, but I think those kids were scarred for life, particularly if you saw Saw X first and then Paw Patrol second, because those kids couldn't stop crying and they were like, I'm not even seeing what's happening here. I don't understand. Why wouldn't they give him the medical treatment he needed for his cancer? Why did he have to go to Mexico and kill all those people? I guess I blame, Medicare for this. I don't know who to blame. Is it Blue Cross Blue Shield?
No.
I don't know. And also the tubes with the eyes that they marketed it for didn't actually happen. That was a dream sequence. That seems unfair. I wanted to see them actually vacuum the guy's eyes out. Yeah, it was a good time. I will be nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Podcast Framework. So that's really, I think, all I've got and all anyone can ask for. in an episode. You got any agenda items?
I mean, obviously, we have some things that we have to talk about. We always have an assignment, and this week it is my turn to assign something to you, and I'm going to.
Okay.
I am going to ask you to listen to, before we get back together next time.
Yep.
Something called Randy Newman Live, because I'm sticking to the idea of live albums.
Sure.
You know, and also I'm sticking to that same list mm-hmm. that we talked about early on that Ben Folds said were the albums right. that were his inspiration, and this was one of the albums on his list.
So what happens if I have already listened to Randy Newman Live?
Well, you'll have to report back next week, because we're not going to talk about it now.
Okay, but I mean, I've already listened to – what I'm saying is you're giving me an assignment, and I've already listened to the thing.
It was bound to happen eventually. We'll talk about it.
All right. It's just an interesting –
I got nothing else. I've got no other thing I can
– Okay, that's fine.
I could do – we could do – if you want a different assignment, we could do Masterpieces by Ellington.
Is that Duke?
Duke.
I definitely have not listened to that.
Well, but, you want to give it a listen?
Why don't I listen to both of those things?
Okay. Give them both a listen. Come back and report next week.
Because I'm a pretty big Randy Newman fan. Like, he's very quirky and that sort of stuff. Oh,
are
absolutely.
Short
people got no reason to live, Court.
That is surprising to me. I don't know why, but I would not have.
Even people my age would get into him through Toy Story, if no other way.
Well,
right?
No, I mean, honestly, I mean, obviously, I
love L.A.
Yeah.
Short people got no reason to live.
I love L.A.
And he's got the voice concept, right? Like, it's not a usual voice for a
singer-songwriter. Well, I guess, when you put it like that, it does make sense. But you got a friend in me.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So, okay. Well, so I will listen to Randy Newman Live, and I will listen to some shit by Duke Ellington, which...
Masterpieces.
My son would love that jazz stuff.
Masterpieces by Ellington.
I will vacuum like nobody's business while I listen to Masterpieces by Duke Ellington.
Listen, you're always the one that is giving me new stuff to listen to. I got nothing, so I'm just going with what I have.
Okay.
I
gotcha. I got nothing, by the way. Nuffin is actually a good Spoon song, because we talked about Spoon last episode. Also, they've got a song about a kid that's 19. I can't remember the name of the song, so I guess it doesn't count. But that would also fit in the 19 framework.
Well, now I'm, because you've mentioned 19 a few times, and now I'm obsessed with the idea that there is a 19 out there that I am.
There's a Tegan and Sarah song called 19.
Oh, you know what it was? I bet it was COVID.
COVID-19.
Yeah, joking.
For our listeners who may not have been familiar, from 2020 to 2022, if you didn't live under a rock, you might have heard a little something about a very, very impressive respiratory experience called mm-hmm. COVID-19.
Yeah.
That really,
and now RSV is apparently just
getting it with a cocktail of the latest strain of COVID-19, because you can get those as well. I saw somebody on Facebook who beat me because they went all the way to November 2023 before getting it. I went to August of 2023 before getting it, mm-hmm. but they've now gotten it twice. Once in November, once in December.
Well, it's impressive that I sat in a room with you, in a mm-hmm. closed, very confined space with you for like at least an hour, probably closer to two, when you were COVID positive, and I managed to come out of that unscathed. Yeah.
And when you say impressive, you mean tortious. because it was bad.
Why does
It will come as a little bit of surprise, given how much we leaned into COVID-19, that this episode is not sponsored by COVID-19.
Indeed.
It is another sponsorless episode, and people are really...
Pfizer is not... Is
missing
not.
Out on revenue opportunities, because there may be only 10 people who listen, but they got a lot of money, let me tell you. If you could narrow cast to those 10 folks and sell them some products. Speaking of products you might buy, I want to thank the Flying Scrub Jays for the use of our theme song, Cyrus Osiris, off their album Love Beneath the Moonlight. Great Christmas Osiris. Gift for anybody if they haven't listened to their music. You could get them that album off of Amazon or various other outlets. If you want to reach out to us to say, hey, guys, we appreciate it, but
stop trying.
You know, maybe there's another thing in life you're meant to do.
I mean, we're both lawyers. And
we are both lawyers. But you know, we could have some other side hustles. But reach out to us. We are on Instagram. On Instagram, we are at Listeners Like You Pod. We're on Blue Sky, listenerslikeyou.bsky. There's a something after that, and I don't know what it is, but still figuring it out. We're still on Twitter, but grudgingly so, at Listeners Like. We have a Facebook page, Listeners Like You. Check us out. We have an email address you can reach us at.
Email address is listenerslikeyou2023@gmail.com.
And we will not, when the calendar changes, change that email address to 2024. We will stick with 2023.
We're staying with it.
So that in 2076, when we're still doing this podcast and extremely old and pooping into a bag, people will be like, tell us the story again about why your email address is 2023. And we'll just look at them and drool. And that'll be the podcast. So all of that is to say, that's what we are doing today. Look at me, Dr. Seussing over here, freeform.
All of that. Yes. Yeah,
no, but what I do,
this is what we do today.
Want to do is all of our listeners, and I do mean all of our listeners, know that the way that we end our episodes is we go find a random podcast. Well, we go to a particular site that generates a random podcast.
Random podcast generator.
Yes, random podcast generator. And then we decide whether that's a podcast we have listened to, we would listen to. Does it sound unlistenable?
Did you give Revolutions a shot, or did you?
Oh, no.
No, not at all.
True listeners will know I did not commit to that bit at all. Okay. You pretty much volunteered as tribute and said you were going to, whether I wanted you to or not, you were going to listen to that podcast because you knew that gentleman, and I checked out completely, because what could anyone learn from history, really? I'm an American male. I know that there's no point in learning about history. How could that ever come back to bite me in the ass at all?
It won't, because we're...
Right. Speaking of learning things, though, I think this is the first time we've been given a podcast that I straight up listened to and have listened to for a long time. So the random generator has given us 99% Invisible, a design podcast. 99% Invisible is a weekly exploration of the process and power of design and architecture. Court, have you ever listened to 99% Invisible?
I have not.
That is such a bullshit description of what 99% Invisible is. I have listened to 99% Invisible. It has always been in my feed. To prove to people out there that I have listened, I will do the following. This is 99% Invisible, and I am Roman Mars. So he's got the best fucking voice in the business, baby. Roman Mars, he completely cashed out. He sold his independent podcast to Stitcher or whatever for bajillions of dollars. But it's not really just about design and architecture. It is about the designed world. And the concept of the title is... most of what goes into anything that has been designed, you know, you are only seeing 1% of the work, right? So what went into harnessing it, putting it together, making it work, that's the part that's 99% invisible. Fantastic podcast. They're actually very timely, because at the moment they are doing a weird spinoff. Speaking of, we like to talk about books a lot. I've never read a book called The Power Broker. Did you ever read a book called The Power Broker?
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, it's apparently a very famous book. A lot of people like the book a whole lot. I think Barack Obama said The Power Broker was like one of the big formative books for him in politics. But Roman Mars and Elliot Kalin, who's on the Flophouse podcast and also was a former writer on The Daily Show, they are doing a podcast about The Power Broker, where they have guests come on and talk about that book. And the first episode, Conan O'Brien's the guest or whatever. So it's one of those celebrity podcasts.
Fucking celebrities every fucking time,
I know,
dude.
I know. But No, 99% Invisible is really, really good. I think we might have, in one of the earlier episodes, talked a little bit about one of their episodes, because it's just an example of why it's not just about architecture but about design. You know, they have a really good episode about how skate culture in the 80s or whatever started taking advantage of all these abandoned homes in California that had empty swimming pools, but that you could use the empty swimming pools as your skate ramps because of the way it was set up. And then they have another one about how the minor leagues started using computer umpires to call balls and strikes and things like that. But I can't offer to listen to it because I listen to it all the time.
And I'm not interested at all.
Yeah, it does not sound interesting to you at all.
Not at all.
Well, hey, Roman, take that shit. There's one person on this planet that hears an impersonation of your silky, silky voice and your whole smart, smart concept and goes, you know what?
Nah.
I'm not interested.
Nah.
I would much rather listen to, I guess, Elvis Presley is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, fair.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that wraps that up.
Yes, it does.
And
indeed
allows me to say, to end this, I am not Roman Mars. I've been Brian Fawnin.
And I will always be Court Winsett.
And we have been
listeners
like you. Thank you very much for the beer.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
and it's 10%.
It's so good that it's really ridiculous how good it is.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't get excited. You have to understand, I don't get excited about beer.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is so good that I'm just,
well, you've got a lot of time to catch up on because you lived. You lived the long, hard life of drinking trash water as your beer.
Exactly.
And so that was the reason to not get excited about beer. It's like, I mean, yeah.
But